As far as what we've been doing so far in the legislature, we've just been doing the rules debate so far, and that will continue today and tomorrow. So far, we went through the rules that are proposed by Speaker Arch, and I think we got through all of his rules amendment proposals. And then today we will work on Senator Erdman's as chair of the he's also on the rules committee, chair of the rules committee, I guess, work on his proposals, which are the little more controversial ones. So there was filibustering with the rules amendments so far. I expect that to continue. I'm not sure how many rules proposals we'll even get through the next couple of days, but that's what we'll do the rest of the week, and then start half-day floor debate and half-day committee meetings. So that's where we're at right now. Yesterday was the last day that we could propose new legislation, drop bills. I ended up dropping, I think, 19 bills. Every year so far, I think I've only dropped about 7 or 8. So hit new records there. I don't know if that's good or bad. One of the proposals, actually by Senator Hansen, if we get to it in the next couple of days, will be to limit bill proposals by senators to, I think, 16 was the last count I've heard, and then 10 through committees, and then the speaker priorities. So I will vote in favor of that if I get the chance. Committees are just overwhelmed by so many bills that we have to have hearings on in committee. The education committee, of which I'm chair, I think has over 70 bills. I haven't seen the count as of yesterday yet, but it would be right around 70 bills. And that's only a 2-day committee, Monday and Tuesday. And we have two or three Mondays that are holidays. So I think we only have, I believe, 9 days of hearings. It's a 2-day committee. It should be at least a 3-day committee. And because we're about third, I think, on the number of bills that go to our committee. And we'll have to have about 7 bill hearings a day. And it's just too many. It's hard to, even keep track of that many hearings and remember, what was discussed at each hearing when you have that many in a committee. So I think, I just talk a little bit about the governor's mid-biennium adjustments. He wants to cut property taxes by 40%, which will be great if we can do that. Nebraskans are being forced out of their homes even now because of high property taxes. So it's really become a pretty much an emergency. We're one of the highest property tax taxed states, and I do look at the three-legged stool. If we could at least get that balanced, that'd be a big improvement. We're extremely high on property taxes. We're, I think, middle of the road on income tax, and we're about middle of the road or a little bit lower than the national average on sales tax. So I'm okay with the tax shift as long as we have assurance that we are cutting property taxes the same amount as what we will do in shifting toward sales tax. I'm on the revenue committee also, of course, and the discussion there so far in just our informal discussion is eliminating some exemptions, and the exemptions we're eliminating are that we've talked about so far are exemptions that mainly would affect middle upper income people. Such things as the bill I proposed to include sales tax on the zoo in Omaha. A lot of the other similar facilities are sales taxed right now, so there's really no reason that we should have an exemption for the zoo. It's you know, one of the best zoos in the country. Really glad that we have that zoo here, but it does draw a lot of out-of-state people, and I think we should charge sales tax to admittance there. Exemption would still hold for season holders that visit the zoo, so the local people would be exempt yet. Let's see, the other part of the exemption I would want to eliminate is dry cleaning of clothes. And well, I think at first it included repair of clothes that's often done with dry cleaners, but actually I think we figured out that the repair part is already has sales tax on it, so it's just the dry cleaning. But the other senators on the committee have very similar exemptions that they would like to eliminate, and I think there's going to be the possibility we will raise sales tax. It won't be anything like 2%, but we probably will have to raise sales tax, unfortunately, to actually reduce property taxes by 40%. So I think that's as much as I'd like to cover. I can talk more, but I'd rather hear about what you people are thinking or interested in. And by the way, the governor today talked very highly of McCook. I know he was there yesterday, and he talked about had a great turnout at whatever venue he was at. I don't know if it was Schinert's Bakery or I'm not sure what it was, but he did say that he visited the prison there also and got kind of emotional. He spoke to someone that he had coached that met him there at the prison, that was a prisoner there, and got kind of choked up when he talked about this young man that he talked to. He thought was truly reformed, you know, I think we do have some potential of people that are actually very much reformed, that we can reduce our prison population. He's very aware of that also, and is very spoke highly of McCook and also of the prison and everyone there. He said, you know, great turnout at the event. So I'll let you guys ask any questions from here, or I can keep on going too.
This is Sharon Bowling, Senator.
Hi.
Well, it's a comment that I made at the end of last year, and it's about how the 33 don't ever go to the mic and explain why what they're voting for is a good thing, or they don't go to the mic and explain why an amendment that they're voting against is a bad thing. And to those of us watching that would like to know the reasons, it looks like, whether it is or not, it looks like you're just all doing the same thing regardless of what's being said on the floor. So if you could get some of you on the 33 side to get up and say why it's good or bad and why you're voting that way, that would really help the public that's watching.
Well, sure. I know what you're saying. A lot of the discussion on rule changes so far, you know, those weren't very they're more technical changes, and if you were listening yesterday, a lot of it was on, this discussion was just on punctuation, and actually it was just filibustering for the most part. There was some, maybe a little bit of useful discussion off and on. As far as myself, the reason I wasn't on the mic a lot, I'm still working on bills that I wanted to get dropped. I've had staff changes over the summer, and didn't, you know, get as well prepared as I would have liked to going into the session. So being in the office here the last couple of weeks, I've had to concentrate on what I have to do, what I need to do to get the bills dropped that I really wanted to, and that type of thing. So I didn't have the opportunity to really listen a lot to the discussion. I knew the proposed rule changes from the the meeting we have ahead of the legislature. I can't remember what that's called, legislature caucus or whatever it's called, that we meet I think it was about the middle of November. So Speaker Arch told us about his rule change proposals, and actually the ones that we'll be discussing today and tomorrow, we know about those also. So I knew the way I wanted to vote on all of them actually ahead of time. And I think most senators do. So they, you know, it's, if they have other things they need to get done, we always have constituent meetings and all those kinds of things going on too. So it's kind of difficult sometimes to participate in the debate, unless it's something that's really important to us.
I'll jump in really quick. Senator, this is Rhonda Graff, and thank you for agreeing to do these calls again.
Sure. Thanks for having me, by the way. Yeah. It's really great to have this connection at least every other week.
I was doing a tour. I've become the unofficial McCook tour guide when groups come into town, and I was up at the Norris House the other day. And so it's just at the forefront of our mind, but you just see this discussion, and you'll see it pop up every now and then about the changes to the rules, or even just the elimination of the unicameral. And I think, you know, with having McCook in your district, that it's not only a point of pride that we're home to George Norris, the creator of the unicameral, but that it really works for the state. And as we see these, you know, rule changes and outright discussion, you know, about eliminating the unicameral or going to every other year or whatever, I think it's really to look that the senators really need to look at what is, you know, what is best for the state versus just what, you know, I don't know. It just seems like they're doing it just for fanfare. And is that really what's best for the state? So, like I said, as your largest community in your district and home to the unicameral, and I know we've talked about this last year, kind of sticking up for the unicameral, and maybe you don't want to. I don't know. I kind of, maybe where do you, what your thoughts are when these discussions come up?
Sure. I'm not in favor of eliminating the unicameral. I'm for the unicameral. I do think there's some improvements we need to make. And those are have come up and will be coming up on, hopefully, on some more actual rule changes. Of course, in any deliberative body, legislative body, we want to hear from both the majority and the minority, and you know, have some give and take between the two groups on whatever the subject might be. You know, we want to hear from the minority, but the minority should not, especially the minority of the minority, should not have the ability to stop the whole process from going forward, stop the whole legislature. And I think with the way the rules, well, the way they ended up working last year, unfortunately, the legislature was just frozen from doing, and I'm not talking about cold weather either, by the way, but stopped from actually doing business. You know, if it's, you know, it can be a debate as to whether, you know, two-thirds is adequate for a majority, or three-fifths in a lot of the country, or most of the country. I think it's more like three-fifths. Ultimately, the work of the legislature needs to get done. And, you know, there are things that need to be compromised on, of course. But the will of the majority, actually the will of the whole body, is what needs to happen in the end. And if the a large majority, you know, two-thirds, actually are in favor of certain law changes, that should be able to happen. But we do need the discussion. So I think it works well in the unicameral, especially with the committee process, because every bill is heard in committee. So that is the place for the population to voice their opinion, constituents to voice their opinions and their ideas. And then the legislative body can debate them without undue outside influences from the parties. And I do think the legislature actually works pretty well, better than most two house legislatures. So I do like the unicameral, but like I said, the rules have to reflect what needs to be done also. And whatever rules are made, there's always ways to get around them, I guess. But we ultimately, the will of the body and has to be what is done, and in consideration of the minority, or even the minority of the minority, but they can't control what's being done either.
Do you think go ahead, do you have a question, please?
Senator, would you explain your rationale for supporting the EPIC petition, please?
Yes. As I've already talked about, we have a real problem with taxes in Nebraska. And I think the EPIC would be, the consumption tax would be a answer to the problem. As whether or not it'll be the best answer, there's not a good answer no matter what changes are made to taxes. The consumption tax is, I think it would be more ideal at the federal level, but at the state level, I think it's something that from the studies, from the Beacon Hill study, it would work. And it's always difficult to do something that's never been actually tried before or done before, but I do support the EPIC tax, but I will support anything within reason that would especially lower our property tax burden in the state of Nebraska. When I ran about 6 years ago now, that was the number one fiscal issue in the state, and still is. It's only gotten worse since then. And we've done some things, especially last session, to help with property tax relief. But with valuations going up as much as they have in recent couple of years, we still have a long ways to go.
Senator, then my point is, it's the property tax is high, yet, but it's the valuation increases that are driving property tax up. Why doesn't the legislature attack that problem? This summer you had a committee that met and you started to talk about the increase in valuations, and then you dropped it. Why doesn't the legislature attack the increase in valuations?
Well, valuation is only half of the problem. Levies, if valuations would increase by 20%, well, if levy doesn't change, that means property taxes went up 20%. So Senator Hansen actually has, Senator Von Gillern has a bill, and I think it will pass, that when valuations go up a certain percentage, levies will automatically decrease by that percentage. So if that would pass, that would actually keep property taxes flat if valuations aren't changed from that point. So I don't think the answer is to control valuations. I think we need to control spending, reduce spending as much as possible. But You know, if that doesn't take care of the problem of excessive taxes, then we need to control levies. And I think actually the only way that shifting taxes toward sales tax will work, we'll have to have some kind of hard cap on spending at the local level also, on levies actually at the local level.